Welcome to the ongoing podcast series of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators. I'm Dr. Richard Baza, Executive Director of NJASA, and proud to be here today with three of my colleagues. Dr. Ken Green is the Superintendent of the Newton Public Schools and President of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators. Scott Rocco is Superintendent of the Hamilton Schools in Mercer County and also President-elect of the New Jersey Association of School Administrators. And Judy Ratner, who is a former Superintendent of the Year here in New Jersey and now a member of the NJASA staff. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
We're here today to talk about the issue of equity, which has become, I think, a buzzword throughout the state and nation with regard to our work. And I'm not sure everybody exactly understands that. But Ken, I'd like to talk to you first about this. This has been something important to you that you've brought in your leadership role for great discussion by our members and by our leadership. Tell us a little bit about that motivation and what we're talking about that you've now termed NJASA for equity.
I think it's a concept, as you say, that's on people's minds and people's tongues. And it's was really an opportunity, I think, to think about the work as officers to engage our membership even more than they already are. And I think our membership's incredibly engaged in the work in their individual districts and around the state. But it was an opportunity to take a number of the initiatives that we're working on with NJASA and to couch them in the language of equity, equity for students, equity for communities, for school leaders throughout the state, and for our members.
So that has been kind of a motivating force that you've talked about with our officers, now with our larger executive committee, which has representatives from throughout New Jersey. And we're proceeding in that work. And I know that, Scott, you as the president-elect have said this is something we're going to be pursuing for quite a while. Tell us a little bit about your role in that work and how you see this benefiting not only the association, but particularly the association members and students in their communities.
So last spring, Ken, myself, and some of the other executive board members sat down and we started sketching out some of the things we wanted to work on, and the idea of equity came up as a conversation piece. And we talked about the fact that it's not a one-year goal. And if we could tie this into multiple years, one, we could do more, so that's important. Number two, we could bring in more engagement by the membership, which would also then filter down into the school districts and into the schools and ultimately benefit the students. But what I also like is what Ken said, is that our membership is very involved in what we do, but we all know that there's a lot of new superintendents out there. And so this is also an opportunity for us to bring in the new members of our association into some activity associated with something that can make a difference, and that being equity. So it's going to be important for all of us because I can see this actually working its way all the way down into the classroom level.
And, you know, one of the things that in our conversations we've had, our association has developed what we think is a pretty clear vision for public education. We called it Vision 2020. We're now in the process of reviewing that and joining with some colleagues at the Principal and Supervisor Association to help us in that work to clarify and move the vision forward. But I know, Ken, in our conversations, we've talked about this focus on equity kind of put some meat on the bones, if you will, because our Vision 2020 is aspirational. Here's what we hope to achieve. And in this way, you're saying, look, we're actually outlining some steps to help achieve that vision.
Right. I think that's the thrust of it, was to try to operationalize that, to, you know, to take our voice and use it to achieve this vision of equity. So as we do with trying to achieve anything, putting together an action plan that would actually have strategies associated with beliefs that we have about equity, and have those strategies be concrete enough that we can measure our progress, that as we take steps to move forward, we can see where we're making gains. We can see where we have opportunities for maybe a slightly different path, but it allows us to move forward and measure things without just being aspirational, without just having it out there as we hope to achieve these things. We can really measure them and make sure that we're taking steps toward them.
I think the key there too is that you really have everybody focused on students, and you also actually have the entire membership. So we talk a lot about superintendents, but our membership involves assistant superintendents, directors, and this really has caused us to look at how we're supporting all of our members. And I think that's really a key factor with respect to.
And Ginny, that's this initiative is really integral into your very focused work as Director of Special Projects. How do you see this relating to some of the other initiatives that you're working on and are important to contributing to the success of this program?
Well, there's a number of areas that we're working on that really have this focus. We have an initiative called Excellence Through Equity, where we're teamed up with University of Pennsylvania. And there are three different regions. We have representatives keyed in each of those regions. And they bring in keynote speakers that are really top notch. And it is really organized around a district getting involved in Excellence Through Equity. So it's not just the central office administrators, it's actually for the entire district to really refocus that. As a result of that, we also have our first ever equity conference that's actually going to be sponsored by Scholastic. And we're looking forward to that on March 29th. That will be held at the Palace at Somerset Park. We have some pretty famous keynote speakers coming there. Dr. Ernest Morrell, who's out of Notre Dame, and he's really focused on equity in literacy. And then we also have Dr. Walter Gilliam, who's out of Yale, and his focus is on preschool equity. So in addition to that, those are nationally known speakers, but we also have some people in our own state that are really doing phenomenal things, and they'll be able to showcase some of those initiatives that they've started in their respective districts.
That's a great point. I'd like to ask each of our other guests today to talk a little bit about something in their school district. Dr. Rocco, tell us something that you're proud of what you and your staff are doing in Hamilton Township.
So we're doing a lot with equity, and so I'll focus on one area, but everything within our district is built around the concept of equity, from the budget to the way we're planning our courses of study. But one of the things that I'm most proud of is our potential AP program that we've rolled out, and this is the second year. We realized that we are not opening up AP classes to a larger group of students at our high school. And students that might have that ability to be successful in AP class but don't think that they're an AP student, whether through grades or whatever reason, we've opened that up to a day where they come out and we talk to them about AP classes. And then they go from section to section in the auditorium, and the teachers of the AP class will then talk to them about what AP is like and why it's beneficial to them and why they should consider it. And so your typical AP student years ago would be that A-plus student, you know, that hardworking, hard-driving student. But a lot of our students do have that capability. They just haven't seen it in themselves yet. So it's opening up those doors to more students in our schools, and it's exciting.
You know, that strikes a chord with me. We, during our fall workshop in October, had a conversation with representatives of the College Board and talking about how to identify those kids that could benefit from enrollment and engagement in those advanced placement courses, but might not now. And so there's so many more tools. And I know, Judy Ratner, that you've been working with the representative to talk about bringing them back to help even spread that word more than we have to our school leaders about this information. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we are working with College Board. We have a date set of April 15th. Everybody will remember that because it's the day your taxes are due. But aside from that, so we're really trying to make sure that information that College Board provides that really is beneficial to districts, how to make sure that people are aware of all that information and how you can use that information. I mean, what Scott talked about, we did a lot in Berkeley Heights to actually raise the number of AP tests from 530 to 800 students taking AP tests in less than 4 years. So I think that they're going to really target superintendents, assistant superintendents, high school principals, and directors of guidance so that everybody, that team, has information that could really be beneficial to all students.
So here's a great example of just by conversation, we learn about something that's happening in Hamilton. It ties into some work that we're doing, fits well into the plan that we've been talking about that you've brought to us, Ken. Tell us a little bit something about Newton and some of the activities there.
Great. Well, as Scott mentioned, equity is broadly seen throughout our district. Among the ways that you define equity is providing each child what they need when they need it. And it's not really the way traditional schools have been set up. So thinking about school in a little bit different model, I think, helps. So for us, adoption of a community schools model has been very important in Newton. And a couple of ways that that has come about is in doing needs assessments of what our students, particularly our more vulnerable students, need. And we find a heavy emphasis on mental and behavioral health services. And how do we get those services to kids? Again, something that schools are not typically used to providing. So what we're trying to do is find that sweet spot of where students need these services. They may be in families that are well off, have health insurance, able to provide this for their children, to students on the other end who are receiving Medicaid, and so they can get those services. But what about the students in the middle? Once families don't have insurance, or they do, but their co-pays, they can't provide for mental health services every week or every other week. We're trying to work with our partners to be able to, our community partners, to be able to bring those services to the students so that when a student needs that that kind of help, it's not just giving a parent a phone number and telling them there's a place, you know, somewhere else in the county where you can go for these services, but they're going to be here next Tuesday. So how about we get you an appointment and get you in to see somebody? It's the kind of thing that overwhelms our counselors and teachers and the things that they're doing. So being able to bring in the resources of the community to the students and allowing them to benefit. Mental and behavioral health is just one example of those. We're also running after school programming. We talked about preschool before, and we're just expanding our preschool program to provide these services to the community and bring these agencies in to assist us with it.
That's a great explanation of what community schools are, if you will, and really a good indication of how the responsibilities for schools have expanded so much to really take part of what might have normally been done in the home, what might normally have been done by government, et cetera, and looking for those opportunities to take the resources and meld them together rather than to recreate the wheel, if you will, using new resources. Well, I know this is a topic that we could talk forever on. We're going to have an opportunity to continue to do that. We are very hopeful and planning on presenting some of the work that we're talking about today to the Joint Committee on the Public Schools, which is a committee of New Jersey legislature, both senators and assembly people, Democrats and Republicans, who are interested in hearing about what we're doing, and that will hopefully occur in April, and I think spark the opportunity to have some more conversation. So I want to thank you for your contributions today, Scott Rocco, Judy Ratner, Ken Green. Thanks for your good work, and thanks for your leadership. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rich.